Well, I'd like you to make your way towards the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. You all, like John said, you all know John 3:16. You all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But nevertheless, it's good to be there while we're talking about it. You know, it's about grace. It's about God's grace. And how I have labeled or titled this message today is not just God's grace, but grace in action. You see, I had a time in my life when I was struggling with extending grace. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but it was big for me. And God talked with me about grace. And it helped me to be able to move through the situation. And so today I'm going to share that with you. But let's first read the passage from Ephesians. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, this passage, as you know, is a key passage that we all use, all of us who share the gospel with friends, we use this passage. We use this as an evangelical tool. And here are some of the points. And I need to spell out these points because it is proper and right to proclaim the gospel. So as we share this passage of Scripture, and when we share this to seekers, here are some of the points that we discuss with them. Point one. Knowing of God does not mean we have a saving relationship with Him. Everything about our relationship with God hinges on God's love and God's grace. We teach that. We proclaim that. God's grace restores broken relationships, the broken relationships that we all have with Him due to sin. By God's grace, we enter a renewed spiritual life, a life free from the curses of sin. God enables us, by grace, to have faith. That is to believe and trust that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And we believe that Jesus alone has made a way for us to have a renewed relationship with God. Through His perfect moral life that He led, His death on the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. This passage also teaches that grace and faith, being a gift from God, means we do nothing to earn it. In the passage, Paul writes, grace and faith, this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so no one can boast. Peter summarizes this gospel message, these gospel truths, in one of his passages in 1 Peter. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him. You have faith and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the gift. The salvation of your souls. It's very hard for people to make human sense out of the doctrine of grace. Many doctrines of God, the doctrine of the Trinity. It's hard to have good logical reasoning for these things. But all I can tell you is that earlier in my life, I believed in God, but I was not close to Him. But God's love and His grace has changed that in a big way. For me, His love and His grace was irresistible. And because of grace, I now live believing in what God did for me on the cross, Jesus. And I believe now that I will live as a member of his kingdom here and now and also forever in heaven. By his divine grace, I now call God my Father. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this gospel is true. And I could probably spend the next 25 minutes expounding on this passage of grace. Books are written about, huge volumes of books are written about justification and grace with all kinds of wonderful, insightful information for us to hold on to. But that's not what I'm going to talk about today. Rather, I want to talk about the application of God's grace in our lives. Because God's grace is all about restoring relationship, our relationship with God. I contend, then, that God's grace can be a template for how we deal with broken relationships in our lives. First, I want to say this. Some broken relationships shouldn't be restored. Relationships involving physical or emotional abuse should remain broken. No one should ever have to return to a destructive or a dangerous relationship. It's very important to understand that. But many broken relationships have nothing to do with physical or emotional abuse. Most broken relationships are caused by and involve out-of-control pride and selfishness. Both people believe they are right and the other is wrong. It's their fault, not mine. Regardless, broken relationships cause deep emotional hurts and a lack of peace, not only for the people who are having a broken relationship, but for everybody around them. Broken relationships within a family or between believers are usually the ones that hurt the most. You know, it's hard to escape the impact of broken relationships. They're everywhere. Just this past Friday night, I'm standing at an ATM making a deposit from my business that day. And behind me, there's this woman putting out so much emotional distress to her friend about this broken relationship in her life. I didn't want to hear it. But I was trapped. I couldn't escape the drama and the stress. I was waiting for my receipt. Think about it. I bet every one of us deals with or gets sucked into a broken relationship issue daily. They're in our music. Turn on a country music station. They're at our place of work. They're in our homes. For goodness sakes, they're at the ATM machine. They're everywhere. Broken relationships are as common to life as taxes and death. There's no escape, and they stress us out. Maybe some of you will remember a 1978 movie called Network. In it, Robert Duvall is playing a newscaster. And he's so frustrated with the things that are going on around him, he screams out, "I'm mad as heck! And I'm not going to take it anymore." Remember that movie? I wish that could be all of our sentiments about society's acceptance and nurturing of broken relationships. We might not want to admit it, but I believe deep down, everyone longs for some sort of restoration in broken relationships. We all want to be restored. Maybe if the relationship can't be entirely healed, at least the hurt and the hate and the misery can be removed from it. That would be our deep longing for these broken relationships. Well, again, today's passage is all about how God restores broken relationships with his people. And he does this by extending his unmerited love and forgiveness to us. You know, God does all the work. So then, here's my premise. As God's unmerited love and his unmerited forgiveness have restored our relationship to him, so then we should likewise look to restore broken relationships in our lives by extending unmerited love and unmerited forgiveness as well. You know, this may seem near impossible to do, but we can do this because of verse 10. We have become God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. You see, we can be God's light. He's enabled us by grace to be his light, even in broken relationships. So how do we respond in grace to broken relationships with unmerited love? How can this happen? How can we love people who have become very unlovable and have broken our hearts? It's easy to say we want to do this, but it's not very easy to do. Some of you might say it's impossible. But to get answers, let's look at how God moves through the restoration process with us. He does this in steps. The first step, it's important to consider why it is that God wants to restore a relationship with us. Have you ever wondered about that? Why it is that God has chosen you to restore a relationship with you? Why does he want to come? Why did he want to come in the bodily form of Jesus Christ to restore us? Why? What's that all about? Well, when John came up and he read the first reading today, it gives us a very clear answer to that question. We learn from the Gospel of John an important motive for all of God's grace. For God so loved the world. You see, God's restoration with us begins with God's love for his creation. The creation he spoke into in existence in the beginning. In the beginning, when it was good. God's creation was a perfect world before sin entered in. The garden and all of the nature was magnificent. And man perfectly mirrored the image of God's selfless love and glory. Man had the promise of an eternal life in the glory of God's light. Man lived in a perfect, loving, and personal relationship with God himself. So God's motivation for grace is obviously rooted in his love for his creation. For the way things were. Likewise, our desire for a restoration of broken relationships must begin with a love. A love for how the relationship had been when it was good. In broken marriage relationships, pastors often share the passage in the second chapter of Revelation. It says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." This is God's call out to us to remember the good, the way it was, and to turn back. This is what he did by sending his son Jesus. He remembered the good of creation. You know, you may remember the way things were, but a lot has happened to destroy the relationship. The process of following this guideline for restoration begins here, though. If we recall the good of relationships, we can begin to see a purpose. We can see a purpose in wanting to restore the relationship. That's what we need to have. We need to have a purpose for why we want to do it. Yet that still means dealing with the other unwilling person. And that's not easy at all, but this is where the example of God's unmerited love comes into play. Rather than God and man meeting halfway in the restoration process, God was willing and did all of the work of the restoration by himself. He did this by coming to this in the form in the man Jesus Christ. He came to do all of the work. He modeled one way, unmerited love. He modeled a complete selflessness, humility, and sacrifice, especially in relationships. Jesus taught this. He said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Unmerited love is a one-way act. We need to do all we can to display grace and an unmerited love towards that other person who we have a broken relationship with. And again, this is hard, but God enables us to extend this kind of love. God's unmerited love and his unmerited grace is our gift. We're able to do this. We've been made spiritually capable of handling it. And you know, it's like anything else that we have or we're given. The more we do it, the better we get. Think about it. My son wanted to teach that lesson to some kids in his middle school over in England. He wanted to say, you have to work at things to get good at it. You have to work at mathematics to be better at it. And so he did that by learning how to do hacky sack. And he started off by showing that he could only maybe do one or two hacky sacks. But over the weeks that came by after that, he kept going and he was practicing at home. And he would come into class and he would say nothing, but he would just do up to 30, 40 hacky sack bounces where he couldn't have done it before. An object lesson. We just need to do it and we'll get better at it. It's the same thing with unmerited love. We're capable of doing it. We need to exercise it. So we first have to remember what was good about this relationship and pursue it. And then we need to move towards extending an unmerited extension of love to the other person. But that involves something else, which is even harder to do. Extending unmerited forgiveness. Grace saves, and forgiveness of sins is grounded in God's grace. There's nothing we do to merit his forgiveness. It's freely given. In Romans, we read, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God's unmerited love is best displayed for us by his unmerited forgiveness. Has anyone here ever gotten really, really mad at somebody else? If you're one of these people that have never gotten mad with anybody else ever, just sit quietly. Well, let me give you a true personal story about me. I think many of you will relate to this. One morning, I'm sitting at the breakfast table like I normally do, early, because everybody else is sleeping, and I'm having my cereal, and I've had no sleep because I'm so angry at a friend of mine. I stewed about it all night long. You know, I don't get angry that often, but this time I was livid. I'm not going to get into specifics. Sorry. But as far as I was concerned, this friendship was over. He had said and done things to me which were basically unforgivable, and as far as I'm concerned, I had been awake all night formulating how I was going to not only end our relationship but return fire. Well, you need to know something else about me at breakfast time. I usually have my Wheaties in front of me, and they're Wheaties. And I have in front of that my Bible, and I'm reading Scripture. So I did that same thing, even though I was so mad. And I don't remember the passage I was reading. It really doesn't matter. But for some reason, the passage moved me to be considering God's forgiveness to me for the many ways I disappoint him. And honestly, that morning, I was changed by God's Spirit. I left the breakfast table with a resolve to work things out with my friend, and it began by my forgiving him. Jesus teaches us also that, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And you know, Jesus displayed the most important lesson of forgiveness, an example of forgiveness that anyone could ever imagine. Hanging within a minute of death on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done." Restoring broken relationships often begins as a one-way effort. It's not surprising, though, as we consider that God's grace towards us, that it's also a one-way effort from God. Extending unmerited love and forgiveness may not always result in a restored relationship, but hopefully we can remove the hate, hurt, and move forward from there. I believe grace is a powerful force and possibly the only effective means to that end. And before I end, there's one last thing to consider. It's prayer. Jesus always went back and prayed to his Father in all circumstances, in all times. And so we need to have prayer be a big part of this process of grace and restoration. You see, prayer replenishes us with God's grace. Prayer also gives us a new supply of his love, his compassion, and his strength. So, this understanding of God's grace in action has helped me in a huge way in relationships with other people. My hope is that this application of God's grace will help you as well. Remember, it's all about love. It's all about extending God's love into the world and everything and all things that we do. Let's pray. God, love is perfect. Your love is perfect. And we have been made capable of being able to grasp your love and have it be a saving understanding in our lives, a saving grace that we know that we are with you and that we are your people. But also, Lord, your love has enabled us to be able to extend that light into the world as well. God, there are many broken relationships in our families and with our friends. Lord, help us restore those relationships by your grace given to us and given through us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.